So let the horn do the thing I do, y'all. Happy Friday. Happy first day of spring, everybody.
It is
4:02 p.m. here on KDNK. Thanks for tuning in to Express Yourself. We air each and every Friday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. here on KDNK, your community access radio located in the heart of the Carbondale Creative District. I am one of your hosts today, Brian Colley, joined by
Amy Kimberly, and I think it's Happy Summer. Wait, no, what is it? And here on Express Yourself, we feature all things culture and creativity in and around the Roaring Fork Valley, from visual artists and makers to performing artists and musicians, and so much more. Here's what's coming up on today's show. What do we got, Brian?
Well, we got some members of the Consensual Improv coming up. In a little bit, they're going to give us some laughter ahead of their show that's tonight at Takah.
That's right, and we're going to put them on the spot because it is KDNK fundraising time.
Well, that's right.
We're going to see what they can bring on. And towards the end of today's show, we'll chat with William Lenzio, the king of the cannoli contraption, up now at Carbondale Arts for his solo show called Sweet Excess.
But first, we're going to catch up with the team bringing us the concert series Pink to Black. Talk all things Houseplant, the jam band coming to Thunder River Theater this Saturday night right here in Carbondale.
That's all coming up here on today's Express Yourself, so don't touch that dial. Yeah. All right. Well, gosh, we have a big weekend coming up. I mean, every weekend's big around here. Where's that music coming from? And we're going to talk Pink to Black. I did hear Allie's great interview with Ben from the band Houseplant the other day. And we have a special guest in the studio, and I'm going to have you introduce yourself because that'll loosen you up right up.
Hi, everyone. This is Jess from El Dorado.
She doesn't even have a last name anymore. We call her Jess from El Dorado.
That is me, Jess from El Dorado.
That's right. And so many good things you guys are doing. Pink to Black is only one of them.
Yes.
But this is the final Pink to Black show.
Last of our series this year. Yeah, final Pink to Black show this Saturday, March 21st at Thunder River Theater. This is our last of the series, and then we'll be coming next year with a whole new series.
And is it true that this band came through you?
Yes, I can claim that. I was at my first Goose show and was just, me and my friends were zoned in on the drummer the whole time thinking, man, watch this guy drum. Also, just that weird feeling when before you meet someone and you kind of know that you're going to be friends with them, that happened with Ben. And I found out a couple months later that my best friend was dating him.
Oh, funny.
That's
great.
He came to visit, and me and my boyfriend took Hannah and Ben out on the trails in Colorado, and he just absolutely fell in love with Carbondale. So when it came time to booking Pink to Black this year, I threw out Houseplant, and Allie already had a connection with their agent, and everything kind of fell in place, and tomorrow is here.
That's so great. Now, it says on their webpage that they're from Louisville?
Yes. They started in Louisville in 2020, and then Ben, who is now in Brooklyn, joined just a few months ago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, were they more instrumental before? For Ben, or because you know they're primarily a strong instrumental band, but I notice it feels like they're getting more and more vocals in there, and I wondered if that was Ben, since we don't have him here to ask him.
Yeah, well, I've asked, and I know that Ben is not a vocalist, but it sounds like this, the new music that they're coming out with now, it is very improvisational and jammy, but also lots of like thoughtful arrangements and lyrics and indie vibes. So they're definitely shifting. I'm unsure what Ben's part in that is, but I do know that their album that just came out, Opal Sun, that is all instrumental and has been on all of it.
So, you know what, really, when I listened to them, there was elements of Phish in there. I really felt that, and I don't feel that with every jam band, but there was something about Houseplant that took me there.
I am aware of them being huge Fish fans. I know they went to the Sphere and had a great time seeing Phish at the Sphere last summer. Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of Phish inspiration. And then also I read they came out with a Relics article, Relics magazine article today, saying that the National and Radiohead were big influences of their new sound.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, they definitely are funky and will definitely get people up on their feet dancing. And actually, they take you deeper. They take you deeper with their music.
That.
I mean, when you've seen them, because you've never seen them. This will be the first time.
Yeah.
You just became friends with.
Well, I saw Ben with Goose, and then I saw him with Elephant Proof back at a North Carolina festival called the Big What. And you know, every time I've seen him, it's just been incredible. So I'm really excited to see him here.
How exciting for you! Yeah. Oh, that's really fun. So let's talk Pink to Black.
Yes,
and the birth of it, and this is the second year.
Year two. It's our collaboration, Eldorado and Thunder River Theater. Just kind of trying to bring more music to Carbondale. One of my favorite things of this area is going up to Belly Up, but it'd be real nice to not have to take the bus up there and just have music right across the street, which is happening. And it's so great of Mike to want to for this to be one of the big goals, is bringing more music to Main Street.
Yeah, and you guys have been doing a good job on that.
Yeah.
So the exciting thing about Pink to Black and what makes it a little different is that Thunder River brings that kind of immersive part
interior
to it.
Yeah.
So have you been over there and seen any hints of what we might see?
I am going to let myself be surprised tomorrow morning. I've heard some words.
Mm-hmm.
Just think of as many houseplants as you can imagine. Lots of greenery.
Yeah, botany.
I don't want to give anything.
Botany is a partner on board, I think, in helping out.
It's not only a concert tomorrow, but also a plant sale.
Well, could be a good time because they won't get any sun in that theater.
Yeah.
They'll need some light. They adopt a plant tomorrow night.
Yes.
Yeah.
Taylor and Emily and Missy and that whole crew at Thunder River do such an incredible job on making it feel like you're in a totally different space every time you're in there.
Yeah, it's been really fun. I loved the design for the last show with the hands and the string coming out.
It makes for such good pictures, too.
So how are ticket sales?
They are climbing.
So it's time to get your tickets.
Yes, I would highly recommend getting them today. They go up $5 tomorrow if there are any left at the door.
But, you know, it's always worth it if you did not get tickets to come by. Because, you know, they'll try to get you in if they can.
Yes.
But there is a limit. It's not, you know, one of the beauty of these concerts, I think, is the intimacy.
Yeah. It's going to be an intimate experience. And this band is just going to get bigger and bigger. Like I said, the Relics article came out today, and they opened for Dogs in a Pile recently. So,
yeah, they're all over the place.
Playing at Cervantes in Denver tonight.
Yeah. So, just because maybe I didn't know. So did Ben used to play with Goose?
Ben founded Goose.
But then is he still part of Goose?
Nope. He stopped and moved on, I'd say, maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And that he was with Elephant Proof for a while, and now Houseplant is his thing.
Okay, that's great. That's great information, because I did not realize that. So
yeah,
thanks.
Pretty big name. So
yeah.
it Ben's such a fun, awesome, goofy guy. So even if it's just to come and meet him, tomorrow's going to be a blast.
And you can get tickets at Thunder River Theater.
Yep.
And theater is spelled with an R-E.
R-E at the end of theater.
That's right. .org. Is it a .org or is it a, I should know. They are a nonprofit. I'm pretty sure it's a .org. But, you know, if that doesn't work, folks, just throw in the C-O-M.
Oh, yeah.
And you can get right on their website and buy your tickets. And like just said, I mean, tomorrow they go up. And what always happens is people wait. And I see them. They come to the door, and they can't get in.
Yep. Yep. They've sales have quadrupled this week. So we've got a few left.
Yeah, there you go. And will El Dorado be open?
El Dorado is actually closed for this event.
So you all get to go and
so
enjoy.
The entire staff will be at the show slinging drinks and filling waters and enjoying
the
show with everyone.
Is there a signature cocktail?
There is, yes.
Ooh, let's hear.
It is called the Monstera Delicioso. Mm-hmm. That is named by one of our Instagram followers, and it is a delicious passion fruit margarita. Ooh. We also have a really great tangerine and passion fruit mocktail for any of us not drinking. And we've got Socorro, Woody Creek, and Aspen Vodka providing, Bomb Gia Bubbles. Lots of great people in the community come together to provide drinks for this show, so we're real grateful.
And, you know, also, this show has helped raise money and helped sustain Thunder River Theater Company, too.
Totally.
I think that's important for people to know because it's the perfect example of how this community does come together and can come together. And I know it happens in other communities, but Carbondale, there's something special.
I've never seen anything like this town. I feel so lucky to be a part of it now.
Yeah, awesome. Well, we're lucky you're a part of it, believe
you.
Me. Especially when you lose your phone. You really want Jess on your neck.
I got you.
But I do think that it is special. And the other thing I know, because I remember when I would book bands, Infamous String Dusters, their experience here was so great because people dance. They dance. They don't just stand around and talk.
Yeah.
They actually came back for Mountain Fair at like a third of their cost because they just wanted to play in front of a Carbondale audience. So I think that's another special thing that happens. You know, sometimes you can go the belly up and people just talk.
Yeah. I've seen it on the faces of the artists at Mountain Fair that they didn't know what Carbondale was about. And they're so pleasantly surprised to see how hard this town jams. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I hope you get to jam a little bit too.
Oh,
I hope you're not going to be slinging drinks.
We've got enough people there that we're all going to have fun.
All right. So everybody, tickets still available, but going fast at thunderrivertheater.org.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
With my friend Brett, Dank Cilantro, opening at 9.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Very important.
Yeah.
And Dank Cilantro is a longtime local. He has played the Mountain Fair stage. He graces a lot of stages as well as a lot of people's
tattooed
bodies.
Yes.
Is that one by?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, not that one, but this one.
Oh, that one. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you guys can't see. We're on radio, but they look great. He's amazing. So, he'll start at 8 and then the band will come on at 9.
Correct.
Perfect. Well, thanks so much for being here
Thank you, Amy and Brian, for having me.
You bet. All right. We're going to play a little Houseplant.
Sweet.
Because they are good.
We'll be right back.
right. That was a little house plant, and you are tuned in to Katie and Kay's Express Yourself. And you know, it's Friday afternoon, and once again, we have a fun crew from Consensual Improv here with us. Because you guys perform tonight.
Tonight, we have a show tonight.
Wait, we have a show tonight?
Yeah. Tonight.
You guys didn't tell me we have a show tonight.
That's because you're not in it.
We have a show tonight.
Oh, my gosh. Don't tell him.
I can't believe it. Thanks so much for being here. We're just going to warm you up. And I'm already going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
Because I want you to each go around and introduce yourself and then say one line about why you love Katie and Kay, because we are in fundraising mode. And then the next person has to continue on, and the next person. Okay? It's like, what's that game you guys play?
One-word story?
Yeah. It's kind of like that.
Let's do why we like Katie and Kay one word at a time.
Okay.
We
love
K
D
N
K
because
they
always
show
the valley
with
love
and
harmony
and
music.
Ooh. I sucked on that.
No. You know, I think it's always good to sneak in two words. And I want to say, is K one word or it's KDNK? So we might have to question that.
Cassidy did with so much confidence. It's one word, clearly.
We might have to do a take two at the end of this.
That's right. Yeah. We'll get you in there again. So, but now, actually, introduce yourselves.
Go ahead, Cassidy.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks. my name's Cassidy Wiley. I am an original founding member of Consensual Improv. And I love KDNK for so many reasons. But I love hearing my friends on the radio.
Yeah.
That's a really good reason. Yeah.
Thanks.
My name is Mike Monroney, also old guard, original founding member, both of us. There's a couple of others, three others in the show tonight as well. And I just love Katie and Nick K because they, K, D, N, K, we're just trying to decide whether that syllables or words. Katie and K.
Katie and K.
It's
one word.
Because they keep the spirit of sort of community and original radio live in Carbondale and the surrounding area.
And I'm Ryan Honey. I'm not an original member of Consensual Improv. I joined 6 months after it started.
I saw
the first show. So coming up on 10 years, which is crazy.
Wow.
That is.
I love Kadunk, as we sometimes call it. Music discovery is a joy in my life. It's a joy as a dad and as a friend and as a guy who's part of Taka. And KDNK is a huge part of the music discovery ecosystem in the Valley. So I'm super grateful for how they share new music.
That's right, folks. And you can show your love just by calling 970-963-0139. But let's talk
about
the show tonight at Taka. So what? It's only one night, which is rare. You guys are like so popular. It takes two nights for half the people that want to see you to get to see you. So this is everybody's only chance in this.
This is the only time this particular show will ever happen.
Exactly.
On
very, very good observation, mind you.
Thank you.
The first day of spring, 2026.
Wow. Man, this is a momentous show.
Yeah.
You do not want to miss this show.
Yeah. No. And there are tickets available. And we have a deal for all these loyal KDN Kadunk listeners. Just mention KDNK when you get to the box office, and you'll save $10.
Oh, guys, right. That's a great deal.
Or you can use the promo code online before if you want to save time when you get there.
So what's the show? What's going to happen in the show? Is it a spring theme?
What we tried to do, there's 7 people out of 13 in our group doing the show tonight. All 3 of us are in the show tonight. And we tried to find some of our old original games. So like ABC is in press conference. These are games that go 10 years back, as well as some new games, some semi-long form type of games that we're doing. And it's all just kind of a mix, and we throw it on the wall and see how it sticks.
Wow. And, you know, I know it's a very collaborative process, but this came to mind because I wonder, did you direct it? Do you have one person that is a director per show, or is it just always a group?
It's overall really collaborative. We each take turns hosting rehearsal, leading rehearsal, but we do have specific producers for each show that also rotates.
Mm-hmm.
Mike is one of the producers for this show, as is Miller Ford.
Mm-hmm.
So they put together the set list, they communicate with the venue, they create the cast list and who's going to be in what games, and all and, of those like behind the scenes mm-hmm. choices that are made before we go into the night.
In the rehearsals leading up to the show, we try to tailor what we're doing in rehearsal to augment what we're going to be doing in the show.
And people are always like, wait, it's improv. Why do you rehearse improv? Yeah. And they're like, did you plan it out beforehand? And of course we didn't. You know, the audience gives us suggestions. That's the basis for our scenes. But we rehearse fundamentals and we rehearse the structure of each game because some of the games are hard to keep track of. And our list is now over 100 games that we play. We do about 11 in one show. So just staying fresh on how the mechanics of a game work is important. And actually the real reason we rehearse is because we love getting together on Wednesday nights and screwing around. And we laugh until we cry every Wednesday.
I was going to say, we get together and we play every week. 13 adults coming together to play every week. And it's amazing. And we've done it for 10 years.
Yeah. And, you know, that leads me to ask, every time you get together and play some of these games, do you discover something new about each other?
No question. I like Ryan less and less the more we rehearse.
Yeah. Mike and I aren't speaking to each other right now. So.
I'm sorry, what was that? Was somebody saying something? What's fun, too, is because we know so many games and because the members of the troupe introduce the games during the show, it's surprisingly difficult to keep those games straight and give a clear and concise intro. So one of our emphases this week has been, let's get the introductions to the games really clear and succinct and efficient.
Well, I would think that like any art form and any craft, you always have to hone your craft. And so even though they're games, if you didn't, you know, play them or practice them in some way, your craft is not as sharp.
100%, yeah. And Cassidy leads these for us. We do workshops and classes for people who are interested in learning improv. And we're actually going to have an open call in April to see if there's any people in the community who might be a good teammate to join the team. But it really is a commitment to do that because if you don't play at least every week, you can get rusty. And part of the magic of a good improv group is that they can kind of read each other's minds, which comes from repetition and understanding. It's like musicians like when they're just jamming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's a practice of, you know, not just having the structure, the rules of a game in mind, but really the practice of being present with your fellow players and of letting go.
Mm-hmm.
And that does take practice.
And you have to listen because you can't space out because someone might have said something.
Sorry, what'd you say? I just spaced out and wasn't listening.
There's a huge amount of trust that is generated by being in this group for as long as we've been in it together. And knowing that the person next to you or across from you or on the other side of the stage has got your back. And we support each other and we're each other's safety net. And that's an amazing feeling.
The last thing we do before we take the stage for every show, and this has been true for 10 years, is everybody in the show hugs everybody else in the show and says, I've got your back.
Nice. So who all is performing this evening?
Oh, okay. Well, so Cassidy, Ryan, and myself, Mike, Miller, Gerald, Kristen, and who am I leaving out? Jeff. Right, Jeff.
He was supposed to be here, but he's not, which is why we forgot about it.
And Jeff actually was sort of the impetus for the group being formed in the first place.
He was lonely and he was sad and he didn't have any friends. So
here we are.
Isn't he like a lifestyle coach or something like life coach? Not
he's got
style.
Lots of friends.
He needs some help on his style, but he's good on life.
Well, and I will say just to add to the, you know, the friends, the family, we are like a family. And I think after 10 years, we were just reflecting on this at the last rehearsal. We've seen each other through a lot of life. We've seen, you know, births happen, deaths in the family, big career changes and shifts and people moving and transitioning and getting sober and like taking control of their lives in a lot of different ways. And it's just so cool to be in a group who is family by choice and witness one another through life.
Did you say birds or births? Because there was birds. That owl.
I thought she said birds at first. Yeah. I was like, they've seen each other through birds. That image.
We saved a guy's life.
Everyone attended my birth.
We saved a guy's life one night, which was crazy.
Really?
That's true.
We were rehearsing in Carbondale, And we sometimes go out for a beer after rehearsal, and we went to Beer Works. And Jeff, who never says this, was like, hey, let's have another round. And we're like, all right, cool. Jeff wants to hang out on a Wednesday night. Let's do it. So we stayed kind of late, and we're walking back to our cars, and some dude was passed out in the TRTC parking lot. And it was like a February night when it was 7 degrees. He had a head wound.
Oh,
and he was like, so we called 911, and so, you know, improv, it saves lives.
That's right.
I was going to ask you guys if I can hop in, just because how have you found over the past 10 years that the practice of improv, you know, you're in the you're in the workshop together, you're on stage, how does that carry over into your life outside of improv? I know you're saving lives. That's amazing. What other kind of like specific kind of things can you think about that have like affected your
life? So in addition to saving lives, living your life with the, you know, the credo of improv, which is yes and, right, is right, a really, really fun way to go about things. They even made a Jim Carrey movie about it, if you remember.
Yeah,
that he couldn't lie anymore and had to say yes. Yes, man, yeah. So there's an optimism to that. Mm-hmm. And a trust and a creativity that comes from those two simple words that you can live your life by.
I think Cassidy and I will both say, too, as parents raising our kids in the school of improv, it's such a huge gift to give to your kids, where you teach them to be present, to be playful. And, you know, I've really realized in the last 10 years that play is one of my core values, and I instill it in my kids and in my community. And so much of that is because of consensual improv and the fun that we have.
That's so great. And I kind of remember when you started, but how did you actually start?
So, Jeff, go ahead, Cassidy.
Yeah.
I wasn't there. You guys were. So, go ahead.
Do you want to tell the story, Ryan?
Yeah, what's your story?
Yeah, what's your version of it?
Well, they were waiting for me.
Yeah.
So,
there was something about the first 6 months that just wasn't right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Jeff did a lot of improv when he was living in LA, and then had moved here, had been in the Valley for several years, and was missing it in his life. So he talked to Thunder River Theater Company, and they kind of partnered on getting some folks together, rehearsing really informally. And then they had an open call in, what was it, April?
I don't remember.
I think it was April of 2016. And they put some feelers out into folks in the theater community or abroad or beyond, I mean, that might be interested. And we showed up, and I don't know. I don't know what they saw in us, but we're kind of a ragtag team of
and we've
goofy
lost
folks.
People and gained people uh-huh. over time. One of the things that has, I think, helped the group be stable and long-lived is...
Long-lived.
Yeah,
we
all have other things that we do. Many of us are performers in other venues mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. take time off for plays, and we'll be out for 6 weeks or 8 weeks. Ryan is an executive director of a major nonprofit in the Valley, mm-hmm. And that is never a problem. Mm-hmm. That's one reason why we have more people than just are in every show, and why we're looking for new members. Mm-hmm. But that freedom to live your own lives and still have this when it fits is amazing for me. And Cassidy's an artist, and you know, it's great to be able to pursue other things and be part of this group.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of our members is running an ultra marathon in Italy at the moment.
So. Ooh, who's that?
Zoe Rome.
Wow. Good
yeah,
on
so
her.
We all have different interests and different things. And I agree with Mike. I think that's an important part of the longevity.
We have at least two people who've written books. We have people that have appeared on the stage across the street at Thunder River.
Kristen's a playwright.
Yeah, but Kristen has published plays, performed plays. So it's really a diverse and creatively fascinating group.
Well, that's great. So you're doing this one-off tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And then what is in store for you guys?
Workshop. Tell me about it, Cassidy.
Third time's a charm. Well, I was going to say before, so next up for us, we actually have what we're billing as a micromance with consensual improv. And it's a 201 level workshop. So folks that have done improv elsewhere that are ready to take it to the next level. This is not a beginning workshop. It's for people who are ready to dive in with experienced players. And that'll be 3 sessions at Takah beginning April 13th.
Mm.
You can register at Takah's website. And then our open call is really exciting for us. We haven't had a new member since summer of 2022, wow. I believe. Mm-hmm. So we're excited to see who's out there and who might be a good fit for our group. So that'll be April 29th. If you are interested in that, please email us at info@theconsensualimprov.com. And we'll shoot you some more information.
Or just ask us about it when you come to the show tonight.
Yes, and use the code KDNK.
That's right. That's important. Let's tell everybody out there again, use the code KDNK.
Kadunk. You get a $20 ticket. You can use it at the box office. You can go online right now and get it. The show starts at 8. Doors are at 7. We want you to come. There's as this valley often does, tickets went flying out the door today. So if you're thinking of coming, maybe jump on and use that promo code right away and get your ticket. And then come on down and join the fun.
That's right, because we do all need to laugh right now. We need laughter in our lives, right? So important.
Spring into the funny.
Yeah, it's the medicine. I think doctors should start prescribing a little
improv
consensual
workshops.
Improv and yeah. Improv workshops. Yeah.
Oh, the science is wild behind when people are playful, they're more healthy, they work better. It's unbelievable. Like, everyone should do improv, at least see it.
Well, if that's, you know, I'm looking at all of you, you all look just healthy and about 20 years old. You look amazing.
Mike is 104.
104. That's
it's incredible
really
how
yeah.
good you guys look from laughing so much. Well, this is awesome. Well, I do hope you have an incredible show tonight. Taka, what a great venue. We're so lucky to have it in our valley.
Thanks.
And so lucky that you host so many local artistic creations. I mean, you don't even have to reach out half the time beyond our valley.
Well,
to
speaking
find
of which,
great...
we got Sweet Jessup and the Dirty Buckets.
That's right.
Album release party coming up.
April 11th. Right.
It's going to be Thanks, big. Ryan. I got my tickets.
Nice. Yeah, that's going to be. I can't wait to see. You guys going cover to cover? You guys going to hop around? Like, what's the plan?
Well, we've got a set list we're building up, trying to make some transitions in the song so it's just seamless because nice. We're super pro.
Brian's new song that he wrote just dropped today, but couldn't find it on Spotify, but hopefully it's up there now.
I'm not in charge of that.
I know. Well, I'm sure it's there. I'm not, you know, I loved the other one though. You guys should listen to the new
I think
music.
We're just
it
doing some
great.
Drops on our social media and then it'll come out.
Oh, then it, okay.
I think by
come
April.
See it live. Yeah. That's the game.
It's going to yeah. be so good. Well, you guys, good luck tonight or oops.
Ooh. How dare you, Amy? You've been in this business too long.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry. No, it's going to be great. Everybody come on out, get some laughs going. And next shows, do you know when the actual next shows are going to be?
Nothing on the books right now. We'll
have one in the summer.
Yeah, we'll have a summer show probably up at Snowmass. But just keep watch consensualimprov.com and we post shows and workshops.
You can also
stuff,
follow yeah. us on socials at Consensual Improv.
And yeah. don't forget, if you've got a gathering or an event or something,
oh.
we are available for hire.
Well, you could really
Do not
be
forget
fun.
That.
We crush a funeral.
Yeah. Can yeah. Can I
want
actually
you at my
say,
funeral. Oh, I love that.
I hope it's not for a long time. Can I say one of my favorite consensual moments from last year was a birthday party, a private birthday party with 30 folks.
Oh,
we
wow.
had so much fun. I laughed so hard that my face and my stomach hurt for hours afterwards. So we
oh,
crush at birthday
idea.
Parties and funerals.
Yeah. All right, you guys. Have fun tonight. And thanks so much for taking the
thanks,
time
Brian.
To come in.
Thank you.
Guys.
Thank
yeah.
you.
I really want
tonight. Don't wanna be the only one to move your feet tonight. Let's take all the wrongs, let's just make it right. We know it won't take long, bringing darkness into the light. Don't care if you keep it loose, don't care if you keep it tight. We got
gotta let you know that we didn't come here to fight. Don't ever feel so bad if you cannot find a groove. Never find what you're looking for if you don't get up and move. Come on, people.
Happy Friday out there. Thanks for keeping it tuned to Katie and Kay.
Yeah,
on Express Yourself.
I just want to note that's Donovan Frankenreiter. He is playing at Tikal, I think, on the 25th of March. Coming right up. Almost sold out, but that should be an exceptional show. This is one of his newest releases, Move Your Feet. So
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, so Brian, we haven't been together in so long.
I know. You went on a trip. I'm going to go away for a little bit in a month. But we're here now.
We're here now. Be here now. And you know why we're here? You know what brings us together every week, Brian?
I would say the love of Katie and Kay.
Yeah. Huh? Oh, you get an A. I'm putting a star on your forehead.
Oh, thank you. Oh,
it's yeah. So true. I mean, I've been involved with Katie and Kay since I moved here. It was my first job here in 2000. And, well, I moved in 2001 in the fall, but it took me like 4 months to convince them that they really should hire me. So I started in 2002.
Well, that was 24 years ago. That's a while back.
Yeah.
2002.
Yeah. And I have been pretty committed to Katie and Kay ever since.
Yeah. I remember before I moved here, my sister Deborah was DJing and they had the video monitor in here.
Oh, right. We had the webcam. Ooh. That was, you know, maybe not our finest moments, though. It was fun.
Before I moved here, I could still kind of eavesdrop on some Katie and Kay things happening live in the studio.
Oh, that's so funny. I didn't even know. I don't remember, yeah. Deb. I remember Ro and I. Ro and I started this show like so many years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice work.
And you can imagine Ro never could run the board. That could not happen.
I'm glad I only have to touch like four things on here.
Well, I'm not that great. Last week when you weren't here, I had a little bit of a phone problem for a moment, but we got it going. We got it going.
Aye.
Let's just talk real quick about the cover of the Soper Sun. Step right up.
Right up. Yep.
Yeah, you survived.
Successful
good job.
Fashion
Carbondale
show.
Arts.
Yeah. Thanks everybody for your support with that event. That's a village.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was so fun. And it really heralds kind of the end of winter and brings everybody out of hiding, even though, I mean, there wasn't much of a winter. So people were out and about all winter riding bikes and, you know, they were doing what you could in this weather. But it really, you just feel it. You just feel that, like, wow, here we go. Bring it on.
I know. Kind of snuck up on me this year, but it was great. It went great.
Yeah, and you did the lobby decorations.
Yes, please don't contact my agent about lobby decor because that was an adventure.
You're such a good artist. Let's can we do a catch up on Roaring Fork Drawing Club?
Sure. We were just at the Coco Club. Thanks to Mark Burrows for hosting us. We had about 20 plus people there.
Nice.
This past Tuesday, Roaring Fork Drawing Club meets every Tuesday about. And the next meetup is in Newcastle. We're going to be going out to Newcastle to the Down Valley Brewing next Tuesday, which is March 24th. We meet at 6:30. Just bring your drawing supplies and hang out. It's probably the one of the more introverted social clubs you can be a part of, where you can be by yourself or be with the people. Lots of options, but it's a good little hangout.
Yeah, and you go somewhere different every week.
Yeah. After that, we're going to the Aspen Art Museum. So from Newcastle to Aspen, within a week, we go all over.
That's right. No, that's great. And then also, let's just elaborate a second on this new song you wrote. What's it called?
Oh, am I allowed to say that word on the radio? I think it's not too bad.
What's the word?
D-A-M-N.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
okay.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Goddamn.
Goddamn.
I wrote a
That's
song
your
called
word.
Goddamn.
Yeah. And what's it about?
I think it was about life changes and having to learn the word no. Things and then also watching things in this country kind of fall apart and burn and trying to figure out where my place is, I guess, in that.
Wow, that's a lot for one song.
I was thinking about it actually on a ski on a Spring Gulch one winter, about if God has the power to, if you can say goddamn, God can damn something, maybe the devil should have the power to bless something.
There you go. Oh, I like that. Yeah, I like that. Well, all the videos and social media you guys have been putting out looks great.
Kudos
Sweet Jessup
to Deborah.
And the Dirty Buckets. You can find their latest release. And that's why KDNK is so important.
Yeah.
Because it's stations like this that are going to be playing your music.
That's right.
You know?
Local supporting local. We can't do it without all the helpers, and KDNK is a big helper.
Yeah, until you become famous, you will not be on commercial radio. I hate to break it. You're not going to be up there with Britney Spears. Actually, she's like so 2000 and
I like the reference.
19,
though.
But
great. Yeah, you know, baby steps. We'll see what happens. It's a fun little band to be part of. I'm grateful to be part of it.
Well, so you are going to be interviewing one of the artists from
yes.
the show at Carbondale Arts, but
yeah.
let's hear a quick update on the other show.
Sure. In the other room, opposite William Lindzilla, who we're going to talk to in a second, Ludovine Girard is originally from Belgium. She now lives in Fruta, Colorado, and makes paintings, abstract paintings, based on kind of emotion and the moment where you experience the painting. She says her art's never really finished until there's that interaction with the viewer.
Very colorful.
Yeah.
And it really complements the giant cannoli maker.
No, it's quite a contrast, but I feel like both of the artists really depend on that audience participation.
Well, I just want to say on First Fridays, nobody was out on the streets. And I went to a restaurant. They're like, where is everyone? I said, well, they're waiting for the giant cannoli to be made.
That's right. Well, we're going to talk about all the giant cannoli stuff. Do you have a song you want to play?
I do. So on Sunday night, folks, one of my favorite bands is going to be playing California Honey Drops. They are up at the Belly Up. So here's just a little tune from them.
Nice.
Shadows deep and wide. She's gone.
for keeping it tuned here to KDNK. Hey, William, are you there?
I am.
Hey,
hey Brian.
We did it. Well, you are live on KDNK. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Your show, you have a solo show up now at Carbondale Arts through April 9th. That's called Sweet Excess. And William Lanzillo, you are the current studio coordinator in the sculpture department at Anderson Ranch Art Center in Snowmass. Before we talk about the cannoli machine contraption and the story behind how that came together, I'd love to have you just share a bit about yourself and your art background. What sorts of things did you study when getting, I think you have a BA in studio art from Carleton College and MFA in sculpture from Cranbrook Academy of Art. What kind of things were you looking into back in the school days?
Yes. So in undergrad, I also was a psychology major.
Oh, that's right.
I feel like that actually did have a big influence on the art that I make, because I feel like a lot of it's very interactive and involves people and kind of thinking about how to create an environment and be kind of inclusive with welcoming people into a project.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like related to my psychology background, but I first started by making mostly large scale steel sculptures.
Mm-hmm.
But they were also very experiential, because I was interested in that large scaleness of them and being able to walk through them and around them. And then in graduate school, I started to realize that the things that I was interested in, I couldn't really encapsulate with just kind of a static sculpture. And so then I started getting interested in performance and interactivity, and have done a number of projects since then with that being a key component.
Yeah, I caught your presentation with the Aspen Art Museum Fellowship, which I think was last spring, around maybe this time of year, maybe a little later. And you had some really engaging projects that you'd worked on in school, including a treehouse and waffles. You mentioned that. Can you talk about that?
Yes.
Real quick?
Yes. So this project was at an art residency, Oxbow in Michigan. And essentially I climbed a tree and put a small platform with a waffle maker, and had like a jar of batter, and made waffles, and people could order them down below the tree. And I used the zip line to deliver them to people. And really the impetus for that was this idea of just an unexpected way of interacting with others, or something that's completely out of the ordinary, as kind of a way to almost like breaking the ice, and kind of just hoping to open people up to the unexpected, but also this like very joyful and like fun experience. And I feel like that definitely carries over into what I have at Launchpad.
Yeah. You're also originally from Chicago, which I feel plays a little part in how you came up with this idea for this solo show. Can you kind of walk us through how the concept for the exhibition kind of came together for you?
Yeah. So I, a couple years ago, was making cannoli with my younger brother,
mm-hmm.
and we were just chit-chatting about how would you make the longest cannoli? So it's kind of this totally harebrained idea that then really started to actually really, it kind of just stuck with me. And then I started to really think about like, oh, how would you actually try to make something that could do that? And so that was really the impetus for this specific machine.
Mm-hmm.
But also, yeah, growing up in Chicago area, I have fond memories of visiting Italian bakeries with my family. We would go on these kind of like tours. And as a kid, cannoli has always been my favorite Italian pastry.
Yeah.
So that, you know, played some part of it. And then I also, with the exhibition, I've been thinking about this kind of idea of trying to capture something about yourself, or about how you relate to your family or other people, that sometimes feels almost impossible to capture, hence the impossible cannoli. And so I've also drawn from family archives of mostly related to sweets and like cakes. So there's also these images of cakes that my late aunt made. She had a business in the 80s decorating cakes. So I was also trying to relate this machine to something that's more personal and kind of this like family history.
Yeah, I love that kind of entry point. So we can kind of get to know you a little bit and see some very endearing photos. I think you even have a photo of your mom as a young girl holding a cake.
Yeah, holding a cake.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really sweet. Well, let's talk about how the opening reception, which was first Friday, March 6th, how that went for you. Do you think you had a packed house? We had like the artist talk and then we just kind of let you go for it. This machine, if people haven't caught on yet, is to build a giant cannoli, impossible 6-foot cannoli. What was that like for you with everybody there?
It was really fun. And it was totally an experiment. And
yeah,
I really didn't know what was going to happen. I had tested the machine in parts. So essentially there is a section that rolls out dough. There's a section where you mold the dough onto a mandel, which shapes the cannoli shell. And then the most complicated part is this fryer system with a pump and a waterfall of hot oil to cook the cannoli as you push it through this basically cooking chamber. And so I had tested out separate components before the opening, but I've never actually run the whole thing together.
Right.
And that was really exciting for me because I didn't know what was going to happen. And I think that that leads to kind of the anticipation of the crowd as well.
Definitely.
And
yeah.
Also then people are live watching me kind of problem solve and learn from the machine.
Mm-hmm,
and I
mm-hmm.
like that kind of feedback loop of learning from what you're creating and not just feeling like you fully understand what comes out of you.
Yeah. It was really interesting watching the crowd versus you, because I think a lot of us watching were like very nervous for you, I think, more than you felt anxiety.
Uh-huh,
you were like cool as a cucumber, like you were there to figure out this machine, come to life and be part of it and see how you can, you know, make this thing happen. And we all were just so, you know, the suspense was high in the room, but you pulled something off. It wasn't a 6-foot long cannoli, but it was, how long do you think that was?
Six inches.
Yeah. You know, better than nothing, I would say. I think it was successful.
I think so too. And also this idea of success is also kind of a key idea to the whole show, because it's kind of about like, in some ways, connecting to people that are no longer with me. So for my family, like my great-grandmother or my aunt who's passed away, or even understanding my mom as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And so this kind of like an impossible idea of relating to people and wishing for something that's really can't happen.
Right.
I feel like the machine kind of mimicked that, like these grand hopes. But then you're kind of left with something that I think is always very exciting, but, you know, it doesn't actually actualize the way you may imagine at the outset of something.
Yeah. Well, we don't receive a lot of proposals like this for the Carbondale Arts Gallery. I'm the gallery manager over there, and it was really exciting to just even entertain this idea of what could be without really understanding how it would come together, and it's been amazing to watch your process. We did a studio visit at Anderson Ranch to see how you were doing, and we got a little taste test ahead of time, and it's just been a pleasure working with you. We've got probably a minute or so left, but I'd love to hear what you've got planned for this upcoming first Friday, April 3rd, second and final activation.
Yes, I'm very excited. I am, in the time between now and then, going to be practicing in the gallery, and actually this weekend.
Oh, nice.
So if people come through, I might be in there.
Cool.
But yeah, the hope is that I think I learned a lot from the first performance, and I think I'll have a more efficient method and hopefully am going to get a longer cannoli. And again, some of the, yeah, the it'll be fun. I'm excited.
Yeah, no, it was a blast to just watch and just watch the people's faces in the gallery and see how it all came out. So we're excited for what's next. Do you have any plans for what's happening with this machine after beyond this show? You've got a whole cannoli career ahead of you.
But yeah, who knows? Maybe food festivals. I don't know.
Well, how can people learn more about you and see more of your work, William?
I do have a website that has williamanzillo.com, and there's a PDF book in there that has a lot of my projects.
Cool.
Past projects and ideas. Also have an Instagram, Lanzillo Art, but not always posting on there. But yeah.
Excellent. You can also learn more about this show at carbonalarts.com under the exhibitions page. Well, awesome. Thank you so much, William, for talking with us here on Express Yourself on KD&K. And
thank you so much for having me, Brian.
For sure. And best of luck in the gallery this weekend, tinkering away on the contraption.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, William. We'll see you. See you later.
All right. Bye.
All right. Bye. We're going to take us out with NPR. Hope you guys have a happy Friday. Happy Friday. See you guys.
This is KDNK, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. Broadcasting at 88.1 FM and via translators K202AB at 88.3 in Glenwood Springs, K202AT at 88.3 in Aspen, K203EG at 88.5 in Basalt, K203EH at 88.5 in Redstone, K228AG at 93.5 in Leadville, K234BJ at 94.7 in Old Snowmass, K235AP at 94.9 in Thomasville, and K260BZ at 99.9 in Snowmass Village.